This podcast is brought to you by the ILGA Oceania Rainbow Human Rights and Health Conference and PrideNZ.com.
I had a bit of a panic on Monday. I found out we were going to have two venues for the transfer. It was free to anyone who could come along. And we were going to, we had the Preservatorium Cafe and Cannery. We had them lined up for the morning. We were going to go to Thistle Hall in the afternoon. Got told on Monday, about lunchtime, no, you can't have Thistle Hall. The floor's been damaged, it needs to be fixed, and they're going to do the work on Wednesday. Yeah. So I rang the preservatorium, and they said, nah, no problem, you can have that auditorium for the whole day. So, you know, you have these little panics when you're preparing conferences and hui's, and this one, we solved it really simply and really quickly. But it worked. When I was organising, because it was free and we didn't have registration, I didn't know how many people were going to turn up. And on the day we had probably about 40 people, or over the course of the day 50, because some people came and went. And the thing that struck me was our diversity. Our diversity across age. We had the youth, the vitality and the enthusiasm of the youth. And we had the wisdom and the knowledge and the experience and the skills of our kuia and our kaumātua. So we had the diversity across age. We had the diversity across cultures. And we had te whanawhana do a welcome for us. And as part of a Māori welcome, there's always a waiata. And what really struck me as something really beautiful is Pacific people that were at that hui said, hey, we've got to sing back. And I had all these young trans people, intersex people and queer people, all these young actors from New Zealand standing up and trying to sing how great they were. I don't know the words. But it's just that intersection across cultures. And the other thing was, the other intersection was age, culture, and identity. We talk about being trans, but in actual fact, language is dynamic. And the thing that strikes me is the language is changing, continues to change. Maybe trans is not inclusive enough anymore. We need new language and we're reinventing the language. How do we include intersex people who are part of our community and make them visible? How do we include bi people who are part of our community and make them visible? And our strength is actually not in our what brings us together in our sameness, it's actually our diversity. That's our strength. So we talked about we had some issues, we talked about trans rights. And the thing that struck me, in New Zealand we're celebrating marriage equality, yeah, great. Got some feedback from our whānau from the Pacific. Hey, when we go to talk to our governments, and we want to talk about an issue, maybe it's promoting condom use and safe sex, maybe it's about setting up some resources in schools, they're kind of telling, always circle back, actually what you really want is marriage equality. No, we want education in schools. No, what you really want is marriage equality. If we give you this, you're going to keep going until you get marriage equality. So it's kind of a slippery slope. And it's kind of, we're celebrating marriage equality, but we're actually creating a problem in the Pacific. You've heard us talk about some of the health issues yesterday at the plenary, so I'm not going to go over that same ground again. We had presentations from youth. Again, that's ground we've covered already, so I'm not going to go over it. Something else that we sort of didn't have a chance to talk about is trans families. And this is, you think trans family, we're talking about trans parents who have young children who go to school like I do, and interacting as a trans adult, as a parent with the school, and making sure my kids are not bullied, they're not beaten up, but They get a fair chance to an education, and that I'm heard. We have now have parents who are raising trans children. So in the primary school system, in the secondary school system, how do we ensure that those kids are safe? And then the other aspect of trans families is my family of origin. How do I deal with issues that I have being trans with my family of origin? And we talk about families. It's not one thing, it's a diversity. And again, I come back to the health. The health is a diverse. We talk specifically about our needs, trans health needs, but there's also, when we go to the doctor, just for general medical care, oh, you're trans, oh, sorry, I'm not going to see you. There's kind of being taken seriously as a trans person, having my needs taken seriously. So that's kind of my brief take on the trans hui. So I'd like to open the floor to questions, and what I'm going to do, as I said, is pass the microphone to people who I think are better able to answer than I am. So does anyone have any questions? Oh, no? Okay, well, instead of maybe, if you're a bit shy for asking questions, I'm actually going to pick out some people and ask them to speak briefly about their experience with the trans hui. So anyone who's at the trans hui, if they'd like to speak, can they put their hand up?
I think one of the experience from, first of all, was the outcome of the actual, I know everybody's turning their heads, and it's very uncomfortable. Okay, let me try and get down with these heels. It's so hard to be a woman. And it's so easy to get drag queen. Alright, I think the first thing that got my attention was the outcome, the ability to of the hosts of the trans hui, because before we even came here, and with all the emails that went through, I could feel the frustrations that was going on, and I kept saying to myself, this has to happen, because this is the first Pacific trans pre-conference, pre-trans hui that has ever been held for us Pacific in the Oceania field. And I was impressed with the outcome, because we got to share more with not just the trans women. I'm so used to the trans women, you know, but having the trans men with us, and some of the ones that are just experiencing the first time being a trans person, you know, with all the transitions and all that. Because it's quite an experience for us from the Pacific, because we don't use that word, transgender. You know, we don't really know the differences, because when you're at home, you ask, what is transgender? You know, when we turn around and say it in public or explain it in public, they all turn around and say, what is transgender? What is gay? What's the difference between gay? I thought gay, lesbian, trans, it's all the same. It's all gay. You know, it's actually an education for us to actually learn from each other, especially from the Oceania, that we have all the problems and all the issues that the Europeans are going through, you know. And one thing that I've learned is being open to each other and being able to tell our stories comfortably in that arena. And I put my head out to Sally and everybody that put this together, because I keep thinking, okay, should I do this in Tonga? Should Tonga be hosting the next Oceania? But thinking back of what happened in Tonga with our conference, with our Pacific conference, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Next 2 years, I should be lobbying and talking to more of these church pathetic, shut-minded that we have. I should be saying closed-minded, but it's totally shut. But yeah, I think that's all I wanted to say. But thank you very much. That's
beautiful. I would just like to make a point about language. The word homosexual first appeared about, I think the first known reference to it in written language is about 1860. Transvestite appeared, I think, about 1900. Transsexual, 1950. Transgender appeared about 1990. The words our Pacific and Polynesian communities use, whawhawhine, whakalite, leite, and I apologise, I don't know the rest, but they have been part of those languages for hundreds of years. So for us to talk about being trans and try and impose that on a community that have their own language, their own culture, their own terms, that are much older than what we have as a culture, we actually need to learn from you.
Hi everyone, good morning. I know, I'm so sorry. So I just wanted to share a few things with everyone about the Trans Week that just happened, or the pre-conference, and some things for maybe everybody here to think about the next time you engage with LGBTI from the Pacific. The first thing is that probably didn't get mentioned in the Trans Week, and I want to mention it here, is the issue of relevance. We're all kind of like talking about LGBTI rights and what's important, the decriminalization of homosexuality, which is really, really important in the human rights framework, the issue of marriage equality, which is really important in the human rights framework and the struggle. But for us, what's relevant for us, what's culturally relevant for us, is none of those things. In the Pacific, it's none of those things. Because when your country is being wiped away by the rising tides of the Pacific, human rights don't really matter to us. They don't really matter. I mean, you're looking at a country like Kiribati, which is going to be underwater in about 20 years. That country has actually bought land in another country, Fiji, to transplant a whole country and its culture into another country. They're now also looking at Saudi Arabia, you know, doing a deal in Dubai to try and buy more land to transplant that country. So in the overall spectrum of struggles for human rights, we just want you to be aware that there are more pressing needs for us in terms of our struggle for survival in the middle of the Pacific. You know, rising tides is a massive, environment is a massive issue. The other thing that I also want to point to your attention is the new buzzword in LGBTI struggle is the issue of intersectionality. And let me tell you how that's relevant to us in the Pacific. For us in the Pacific, it is about the ainga, or the family. That's the cornerstone of every Pacific Islander, Polynesian, Melanesian. It all relates back to the family. The concept that we have of family is completely different to the Caucasian or Western concept, which is you have a nuclear family, we have an extended family, which basically means your whole country is your family. When one part of that family is hurt and upset, everybody is hurt and upset. And it's really, really, really important. I think Elizabeth mentioned that yesterday in her presentation about Taktapui and the whole framework for Taktapui in New Zealand. It's really important for you to understand that for us, culture is really, really about who we are. And from a cultural perspective, you know, going out and upsetting members of our family to try and get ahead in terms of, we struggle with that on a daily basis. Human rights, by their very definition, are very selfish. You know, if you think about it, human rights is about you as a human being. But for us, from a cultural perspective, No, it's not about us as human beings. It is about us as a conjointed, extended family. And this is really, it's a really important concept to grasp. We're not saying that, no, we're trying to be different now, away from human rights. No. Really important in your environment. But in my environment, when I say to my family, this is for me, mom, my mom will smack me with a 2x4 and say, excuse me, what about your cousin that's like just, you know what I mean? We worry about everybody else. That's the, and I want everybody to be aware of that when you're contextualizing the struggle for LGBTI in the Pacific. It's about that struggle from us, from a cultural perspective, which is really, really important for us. And the last thing that I wanted to share is, it was really, really important for me to be here to watch all the young trans come up and their struggle, you know, especially like New Zealand trans. For us in the Pacific, we see things differently. You and your struggle, you're walking on a tar-sealed road at 10 a.m. With some shade, you know, and no shoes. It's really not that bad. It's, the surface is even. You get a few ants crawling on the road and all that kind of stuff. A little bit of rain here and some puddles. For us, we're walking right alongside you, walking the same journey on a coral side road, right, with no shoes in the middle of the day and no shade. Completely different perspective for us. I tell you now, Fafafines don't really want hormones. That's the least thing on our priority. Maybe for one or two of us, yeah. But we're going to now take the whole struggle and fight for that one individual's hormones? No. It's important for us to keep that in perspective. The other thing that's really, really important for everybody, and I know I've taken up too much time now, is not just the hormones, and I raise this at the Hui, is about the issue of marriage equality. Now, you've got to remember, for you here in New Zealand, almost 30 years later from homosexual law reform, you finally got marriage equality. Samoa legalized same-sex relations in 2013. Do not ever bring it up in my presence unless 30 years from now, then we can talk about it. You know what I mean? Because you guys, like, for us, it's like, well, how come the Kiwis got it 30 years later? It took them 30 years to get marriage equality, and now they're pushing with the Pacific. Do it now. You've got to have marriage equality now, you know? It takes time. It takes time for us. We've only just allowed same-sex relations in our Crimes Act. We only have, sodomy is still criminalized, and that's something that we need to take up. But same-sex relations between consenting adults, whether male or female, in Samoa, over the age of 18, is allowed under the Crimes Act. And if you all are interested in that, come and see me and I'll tell you about that. Also, the other thing I wanted to mention is, 2002, we had the Births, Deaths, and Marriages Act in Samoa. 2002, way before any other country in the Pacific, and the wording of that act specifically states that any Samoan citizen that is born, that is married overseas in a jurisdiction that allows and solemnizes that marriage, can go back to Samoa and have their marriage registered and recognized in Samoa. 2002, there's a piece of legislation in Samoa that's current at the moment. Maybe they never thought that it was going to apply to gay marriage or marriage equality, but it's there. But do you think we jump up and down about it and we say, oh yeah, let's go and get married? No, because of that cultural umbrella that we all live under, that we don't really want to piss off your auntie or your grandmother or your uncle who's a priest or something like that. Look, we're happy where we are. Our lived experiences say that we thrive where we are. You know, and let's just, all we're doing is we come to these Hui's and we take what's important and we say, you know what, that's important, that's relevant, let's focus on that, let's go and, you know, like youth, like Bella, oh my God, like amazing, you know, I want her to come to our next human rights conference and speak about the young transgender, Fafafines and Fakaleitis, so that she can share her story. Like, those things are important to us because, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's all about us as individuals. So I just wanted to say, Sally, thank you so much, and Mani, who was also in the organization of the pre-conference, thank you so much for providing the opportunity for the Pacific to speak. And on that note, I'm just going to say, kia ora katoa katoa.
One of the other issues that come up at the trans who was how we intersect with intersex people. And we're just going to offer a moment for Ileana to speak to that.
Okay. So it was also important to acknowledge our existence, not as intersex, because we really acknowledge and we even now part of the LGBTI thing, you know. But it's also to acknowledge the intersectionality between all those identities. And I was trying to point out that there is trans people that they are intersex, because it's always been focused in that male to female, female to male. Yes, but it's also intersex to female and intersex to male. So it's just bringing out understanding of a new thing that has been hidden or not accepted. And it was interesting to find that I'm not the only trans intersex, that there was in the conference another trans intersex person. And it was nice for me just to find out that we need to appreciate more this diversity, and that the health issues are important to all of us, but every individual has a specific needs, and we intersex people have a more difficult situation. I mean, we have more difficult health issues to deal with. So it's to understand that we are a community, not to disaggregate or trying to use labels to place you in where you have to be. It's just about being a community and fight for the rights of everyone, not leaving everyone behind. No one should be behind. We all should be in the same level of, you know, of access to health. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Ileana. I'm so proud. Intersex doesn't have a session itself, this conference. We will next time, because there's enough of us to do that. So, very proud moment.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up for the Trans Hui report back, because I'm aware that we've got our Pacific scholars speaking next, and I would like them to have the full amount of time possible to speak to their issues. So thank you.